Hi everyone, I'm Scott Branley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On today's episode, we're going to hear how one woman's lifelong journey with a disability has helped her discover God's path for her. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Latter-day Lights. We're so glad you're here with us today. We're really excited to introduce our guest with you, Fanita Higley. Fanita, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Awesome.
Good.
Fanita, so you reached out to us. How did you discover Latter-day Lights?
I looked it up on the internet and was looking for a new podcast. I saw you guys up there and I saw a couple episodes and I loved them.
Oh, cool. Do you have one that's a favorite?
I do have a favorite. The one that I heard were the woman that that lost her, or that her mom was gone and that she was having a rough time with her dad or whatever, and it was hard. And she grew out of that, and so she grew up to inspire people that you can grow from where you are and from hard times and things like that, because everybody has hard times.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, we are so glad that you found us and that you are enjoying the episodes. We love hearing stories and we're very excited to hear yours today. But before we do, Fanita, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Fanita Higley and I'm from Alaska originally, and I lived there for 20 years. And but I prayed and I knew it was time for me to go. And so my mom was going, well, you can stay here. It's like, no, I need to go. It's like, and I sold my house and my husband moved to Utah like in March, and I moved in May or June. And so the Lord led me here.
Wow.
Okay, I have two beautiful children.
And you're married?
I am married. I have two beautiful children there in Alaska. And I will be going there in a week to see my youngest daughter graduate high school.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yes, it is.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, where in Alaska? Because I almost moved there and then we ended up in Texas instead. But I'm curious, where did you grow?
I'm south of Anchorage or east of, I'm in the valley. I'm in Wasilla Palmer area.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Alaska is beautiful. So is Texas.
Nice. Texas is a little less green.
Yes, it's very
at least where I'm at, but yeah, I'm definitely enjoying some of that warmer weather. I didn't realize how much I missed warm weather. So
yes.
It's good. It's good.
Oh yeah, very you're a cool. Florida girl, huh?
You know, okay. So listen, I grew up in Florida. I was not born there, and I will probably go visit for like Disney World. But I was not like a Florida girl. Like I didn't fish.
Oh, okay.
I didn't eat seafood. I didn't like going to the beach. I hate frogs. Humidity is bad for my hair. So I wouldn't say I'm a Florida girl, but I do like warm weather, I think, too. So I love the cold and the snow, but I also love the warm weather. So, well,
yeah.
That's awesome, Fanita. So you have two kids, you said, and in your youngest is graduating high school now.
Yes, right? She's 18.
Very cool. Now, do you have any special, you know, hobbies or passions?
I like to draw, and I like to color.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
very
and,
cool.
And I have a Cricut machine or a machine that can do cards and things like that. Mm. So I do that stuff.
Oh, so fun! So you're kind of crafty, huh?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. I like to pretend like I'm crafty, but I'm not compared to like Scott's daughter, Clarissa. She's an artist. She's legit.
She got some skills. And she has a Cricut, just like you.
Oh, cool.
Those things are pretty fun.
They are.
Yep. Very cool.
Awesome. Well, Fanita, why don't you tell us your story today?
Okay. I was when I was younger, I was always told that I couldn't do stuff and things like that. And it, and it stuck with me for a while. I wanted to write a book when I was younger, and I got deterred away from it, so I never really pursued it no more. And so when I got older, I said to myself, I can do what I want. It's like not everything what I want, but it's like I'm not going to let my disability overcome me.
And what kind of disability do you have, Vanita?
I have cerebral palsy because I have spasticity in my right arm. It's it starts with the H. I don't remember what it's called. But I even told my mom, it's like, yeah, I know what kind of disability I have. She goes, well, I knew that. It's like, well, I never knew it. So it's like I mean, kept out away from different things. And it's like, I look it up and find out what it is.
Oh, wow.
And so I live away from my family, and they're like upset that I moved away. But it's like, I needed to find my own way and do what I needed to do. It's like, yes, I am disabled, but I don't think I need to live with my mother my whole life. I'm married and have two beautiful girls.
Yeah.
And so it's like when I was in high school, it was like people would say, well, they would tease me because of my disability and things like that. But I never knew the church had anything about disabilities and people. And I've never seen any of it. And when I was growing up, I saw a bunch of it, but as I grew up, I got baptized at the age of 9. So I consider myself a convert. And so back then it's like you wore the white dresses in the pool, in the water. And my dress kept coming up, dunked like 8 or 9 times. And finally my mom goes, well, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. But I felt guilty if I didn't do it. So finally they had me kneel down and be baptized that way. And it's I was crying, but it's like, what do you do? And so for me being in the church and having my family say, you have to go to church. I didn't have a choice to say, I don't want to go or not. So I went. Mm-hmm. By the time my parents were both in the military. My mom got divorced about 10 years after, and back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And so after I got baptized, we moved around quite a bit. My grandmother came along with us sometimes. And it was just hard on me and mostly hard on me, my brothers and sisters, when do stuff. And when I would follow them, they would say, you need to go home, or you can't do this or that. And so I felt left out. Mm-hmm. And being a third oldest, it's like, I shouldn't be left out of all the things. One of my older brothers took me under his wing, like, oh yeah, you could do this or that. And that 10 years after high school, I have a letter, but I got interviewed when I was back in Germany, and the school interviewed me about being disabled and being able to overcome my disabilities and how I could work, because a lot of places today and back then would not hire disability people.
Right.
And so that was kind of hard for me. It's like, even though there are disability people, and like me, it's kind of hard. And so when I put in my paperwork to go on a mission, my mom goes, well, you might not be able to go on a full-time mission. You can go on a mini mission. But it's like, I wasn't going to take no for an answer. It's like, so I put my paperwork in and did all the things I needed to do. In October 97, I went on my mission. Wow. To Texas, and I went to San Antonio. I went to Texas San Antonio Mission.
Oh, and so, awesome!
Yeah, my first mission was all the way in Waco, but I started reading the Book of Mormon, and I studied the scriptures, and I had a couple of the scriptures memorized. There's one that stuck to me in the MTC in the still, and it helped me quite a bit on my mission, and still today. in the scripture is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I believe that. And so when I was, before I was giving my farewell talk, the Lord let me know that this was, this is the true church, because I had in my mind, it's like, oh, okay, is this going, I'm going to church in this. But I had a strong feeling that this was the true church, and I was going on a mission that the Lord wanted me to go here.
Oh, wow.
But every one of my companions taught me a lesson or on my mission. So the first companion that I was with, I had a feeling to, because we went to go see this one lady or this one that wanted to know more about church. It's like, so we gave her a Book of Mormon. She gave it back to us and said she didn't want to. And so I had a feeling to go back there, but I waited 3 days. I said, oh yeah, we're supposed to go back here. And by the time I went back, my companion said, you need to go talk to her. You need to bear your testimony. And so I did. She did take the Book of Mormon. And I don't know if she ever read it, but I did. But during my testimony, I did plant a seed.
Yeah.
And so, when I was in my first area, we were able to get like two or three people in my first area to be baptized, and I was able to go to their baptisms and get them prepared. One of the couples we were doing, there was an 8-year-old boy that was living with his grandparents, and he was afraid of the water. So we would teach him about the water and like put like the stuffed animal down and say, this is what it's going to be like, and the white clothes. Mm-hmm. It's like, and even the day that he was going to be baptized, he was still scared. But I was able to talk to him and encourage him, like, this is okay, I will be here. And so I was able to lead the music. And my other companion was able to give a talk. And so he calmed down. He was able to be baptized. And I stayed in my first year 6 months. And then I went down to towards San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But on my mission, it's like I grew so much. It's like I read the Book of Mormon on my mission before Christmas, and I made sure I was going to read the whole Book of Mormon before Christmas, and memorize what I needed to memorize. And I got it, and I completed that part.
Wow!
And so it was really good. And so I keep in touch with like two of my companions now that live here in Utah. Wow. But, when I got off my mission, cause I came home early. For the first time I came home early, I had a medical problem. Mm-hmm. And so my psych president was saying, well, we're going to release you now. It's like, no, I need to go back on my mission. I need to go back. It's like, And I knew from the Lord saying I needed to go back for at least 3 more months. And I did that. And I came home early, and my mission president was able to call my mom and say, well, we think that she needs to come home. The Lord was telling my mission president and me it was time to go home. And so my mission president said, if you can try to do 100% your last 2 weeks of your mission. And I think I did 110%. But when I went home, my parents, my mom, really, she said it wasn't an honorable mission because I came home early. And that deterred me again, because it's like I served the best I could for 15 months. And I was able to we had 9 baptisms.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
In every area that I went to, it helped me quite a bit. The downtown San Antonio, I can't remember where, but that where the temple was, that's mm-hmm. the area I served in. It's where they put the temple.
That's so cool. Wow.
And so hopefully one of these days I'll go back and see the temple. And see some people that I was able to convert to the temple or to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we just had the, I forget exactly what they're called, like the mission presidents of the service missionaries. So we have the proselyting missionaries, which that's what you went on as the proselyting mission, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so now the church just recently in the last few years, I believe they implemented the service missionary program for people that do have disabilities or struggles with mental health or for whatever reason, maybe, you know, maybe it's too difficult or not possible for them to go on a, you know, 18-month to 2-year proselyting mission. Do you ever, I guess, like, have you ever thought about the fact that you're kind of a pioneer, right? Like, I mean, you went and you said yourself you weren't able to finish the whole 18 months, but you got so close, right? You did 15 months
total.
And so do you kind of look at yourself as like a pioneer for showing the church that like we, you know, we're ready. Like there are people who, you know, can still serve even with their struggles, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah. How do you, like, what do you think about that? What do you think about the service missions and, you know?
I do like the service missions because when COVID hit or after COVID, in the people in the elders or sisters that had like asthma or different things, mm-hmm. they came back and they're able to do service missions in like the church storehouse or something like that, so that they're still serving, but at home and being able to be taken care of what they need.
Yeah.
And before it's like, they weren't really doing that when I served my mission. When I was in the MTC, there was another sister that was disabled. I don't know where she went, but it's just kind of neat that how others. People that are disabled that are able to go on missions are able to do that because a lot of times that they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Or they can't because they're too handicapped.
Wow. That is awesome. So can I ask you, because especially I feel like for young men, there's definitely more of that expectation, you know, that's part of the priesthood and stuff like that to serve missions. But for young women, and especially back in, when did you go on your mission? Was it the early 2000s?
97. You're right. 97.
Okay. Yeah. So like even back then, like there was just so few women that were serving missions, right? Like it wasn't even like a big normal thing. So how did you get to that point where you were like, I'm going to serve, you know, not only did you have the fact that, you know, you were a woman and it wasn't like the standard, you know, for women to serve missions back then, but also you still had this disability that, you know, you were struggling with. How did you get to that point to want to serve a mission?
Well, I was dating someone online and then I went to see him in New Mexico mm-hmm. and he was just a friend of mine. And so when he saw me off, cause I saw him get his patriarchal blessing. His name was Matthew. I don't remember his last name now, but he said I should go on a mission, and instead of me going back to Germany, I went with my mom to Alaska, but we stopped in Salt Lake, and I wanted to see the temple. And the Lord says go on a mission, and the third time I went, it got louder. So I go on a mission. So I turned to my mom and said I'm going on a mission. So when I got to Alaska. I went to my sec president and said, I'm going on a mission. I need paperwork. And so they set me up. And when I got back to Germany, I was able to get my, all my paperwork done, get my physical and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like it took a while because with July when it's Pioneer Day, it was like, am I going to ever get it? It's like, and then it's like, when it came, it's like, and I didn't open it. It's like, yeah, I'll probably, if I ever go to Texas, they have all this and stuff like that. And it's like, we went to a member's house and they were going to text us. Yeah, this is all this. And I was talking bad about it. And then I opened my mental call. It's like, text. It's like, oh my gosh, the Lord told me something.
Too funny. Wow. Yeah. So what are some of the things that you think your mission helped you with the most? Because you said you did a lot of growing.
I did a lot of growing. I was like, because every mission or companion helped me, but I was like able to grow. It's like being away from family. It's like I was able to know, like, I could do this. I can not say, well, you can't do this or that. And so I was able to grow with everyone, and also with my mission president, my area presidents and stuff like that. They were able to help me and continue to do the things I need to do. It's like, mm-hmm. and none of my companions were negative, and I was able to go in there full face, smiling, and know that this is where the Lord wanted me to be. Aww. And by reading the scriptures and studying my books, and because now they do it all on the computer or whatever, mm-hmm. or have little iPhone or iPhones or whatever to call their mom, their parents weekly. It's like, we didn't have that back then. They didn't do that. Right. Yeah. We had to write mission letters every week. We had to write letters like we were going to talk in church or whatever like that. So we had to write our parents weekly. And so with the mission president, they would call us, or they call us, or they come up on a special thing and see how we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we could never do anything wrong or whatever. I would never do that, but it's like the Lord knew that this is where I needed to be. And it's like, yes, I'm disabled and I can do stuff. And I was afraid of thunderstorms. And one time the storms got real bad in Waco. Mm-hmm. And so we went back up church, and I got a blessing from the elders. And after that, I wasn't afraid of storms. Yeah, it rained a lot. We had thunderstorms. Never got into a tornado, but there was flooding that we couldn't do and things like that. Mm-hmm. But wherever the Lord needs me to go, I pray, and I know that wherever the Lord sends me, that's where I need to be.
Wow.
That's awesome. So yes. Where did you go after what happened after your mission?
I went to college for a little bit in Anchorage, and then in August I said I'm going to go to BYU or Ricks College, so I put my paperwork in. My mission president wrote a letter to him, and so I put my paperwork in. I wrote a letter, or I did my essay. They accepted me, and that's where I met my husband. 6 months later, after I got there. So I met him back in January, right after Christmas and stuff, or just before Christmas.
Was he going there too?
Yes, he was. So I got to meet his mother, his family. And it's like, they fell in love with me really quick. They loved me and all that. And they accepted me for who I was. They didn't say, well, you're disabled, I don't want you in my boy or whatever. Yeah. Everybody accept me for who I am. And they still do. Wow. They still do today.
That's so great.
Yes.
Oh man. So look at you. I mean, from going, you know, from living this life where you're told you're not able to do all of these things because of your disability, to going above and beyond and serving mm-hmm. a mission, going to college, sure. moving away from your family, like that is phenomenal. It really, really is. And you guys had babies,
yes.
right? And just motherhood is so hard anyway.
It is.
How was that? How was raising babies with a disability?
It's kind of hard to raise babies or people with disabilities. And I did, I was able to do that for, until one of my daughters was 10 and the other one was 14. My mother got involved and said, well, I shouldn't have had kids and all that. And so, and also the state got involved. They, in the state, said if I didn't have my sister or family take care of them, the state would take them and I would never see them again. And so my sister took them. And so my sister had my kids from the age from one was in sixth grade and one was in ninth grade. And so it was kind of hard because I didn't see him daily. I saw him once a week. And then when my sister took him for the first time, it's like I couldn't see him for like 2 weeks until they got used to living where my at my sister's house. And so at Christmas, it was okay. But we left right afterwards and my kids cried because it's like, where's mom and dad going? It's like, yeah, we went to see my husband's parents and their family for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't go because it's like they were just living at my sister's house. So things were not going good with one of my kids, but
wow.
My sister was strict on them a little bit. So my youngest one always slept with me and things like that. And so when she first moved there to my sister's, she wanted to sleep with my sister because it's like, that's all that she knew. It's like, mm-hmm. And so my sister was like, well, you can't be doing this. I don't think you should see them for a while. It's like, that upset me. It's like, hey, these are my kids. And so after my kids left and went to my sister's, I decided to get a job. And it's like, I went through the school system and the first couple of years, like, they wouldn't let me do it. And then I did substitute because I worked in the cafeteria. Monitoring kids and stuff, and I do that for a couple of years until one opened in the school in Palmer, and so the school was called Colony Middle School. My daughter actually said my mom's a good person, hire her, so they did. I went for an interview and I retired like 3 days later, but I had to. My grandmother was really sick, so I said, I need to take care of my grandmother before I start work. And they said okay. And so February 3rd of 2015, I started working there. And I did that until I left in 2021.
Wow.
So you got to see your kids at school?
I got to see my youngest one at the middle school from 6th until 8th grade.
Wow.
Okay. And then I left. Then I got to see her until she was in 10th grade. And then I decided to leave and go where my husband was. And my mother didn't like that because I lived with her for 8 months and that was not good for me. And then I prayed
I was going to say, so once you, your kids moved with your sister and it was rough at the beginning, did you figure out, did that relationship work out?
The relationship
with your kids and your sister.
Yeah, it did work out with my sister. We still were had buddies sometimes, but most of the time it was okay. Mm-hmm. And so she liked my sister likes to tease a lot, so I'm learning to like take it a little bit, but it's not bad teasing.
Yeah.
But she's just looking after me too, just like everybody else is. And when I left Alaska this last time, it's like, well, you shouldn't have left. And so once I left my the state, because I'm disabled, so I had Medicaid and Medicare. Mm-hmm. They said since I used the Medicaid system that the state was going to take everything. So they took all the money for my house. So I can't get a house now here in Utah.
Oh, darn.
And so now it's like I have to pay Alaska back over $4,000, and I'll never be able to pay that back because we don't have that kind of money.
Wow.
And so if I do buy a house or whatever, the state of Utah would take it if something happened to me and my husband.
Wow.
So it's like we have to live in an apartment. So that's what I'm doing right now. I have a small apartment with my husband, but.
So it seems like the Lord kind of lets you go through quite a few different situations to grow from each one, you know, like he didn't just give you, you know, have you have this disability, right? You still had to experience life the way that we all do, where relationships are tricky and family can be a little bit hard and you have to, you know, deal with finances and with what you're going to do for your career and, you know, like navigating all those waters. How has going through all of these hardships for you, how has that helped you in your testimony?
Well, it's helped me quite a bit because if the Lord put stuff things in my way so I could grow. And that's how I've been since I've been in Utah. It'll be 2 years this June. But when I first got here in 2021, I got a job at DI to get a feeling of what career I wanted. Mm-hmm. So after DI, I went to the family store or family Dollar Tree or Family Tree. I can't remember what it is anymore. But I went there and I worked there 9 months, and then I applied for the school district as a bus aide, and I've been working there for a year now.
Wow.
And so I just had shoulder surgery back in December of this of last year. And so I spent from January until April out of work, and I was like in a hard depression and crying a lot because I wanted to go back to work. I'm a person that likes to work and likes to do stuff. And so I was like getting down to myself, and I know the Lord was, when I prayed, the Lord says you need to get up and do what you need to do. It's like, I'm not putting you here to put you down. We grow. And and there was a talk a while back. It was Elder Holland. He was talking about where a husband had lost his son because he backed up and up to his driveway and put stuff in there. And and when he went to pull away, he felt a bump, and when he went out or back, he found out that he ran over his son.
I remember that. Often.
And so, and that is so, and that got to me because the Lord puts hard things on everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just that the Lord's doing that everywhere, all over, especially in days like this. These are the last days. The Lord is coming. It's like, if we do what we need to do, the Lord's going to will bless us. The disability, because I was on the disability thing where you got the wait list and all that. I was in that program for like 20 years or 15 years. But one of the ladies says, you can do what you need, what you want. You have the ability. And so I learned from different people. And I learned from that. It's like, I don't take no for an answer. I will do 110% of what I want to do and things like that. So I just keep doing what I can. My bishop now knows that, and I've given talks and things like that. I gave my first talk last year when I was 53.
Really?
I gave my first talk in Sacrament.
Wow. And now look, you're doing a podcast.
I am. And my talk was on about hard things, about how the Lord gives us hard things in these times.
So I love that you were able to come on here today, especially, I mean, it just blows my mind that you only gave your first talk not too long ago, you know, like that's incredible that, that it's been that long. 'Cause you definitely just feel like a natural,
Thanks.
You know, you didn't seem nervous or anything like that. I have two best friends in Utah, and neither one of them will come on my dang show. Scott knows both of them. They don't want to get on here, but you just stepped right up and shared your story and some beautiful insights. And just thank you so much for that, Finita.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really admire your willingness to just go for whatever you want to do and just make it happen. That's pretty cool. I have a friend growing up. I had a friend growing up. He's still my friend, but he was deaf, and he struggled. But he was like you. He was like, I'm just gonna do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, I learned sign language. You know, and that helped me as a person. You know, his disability helped me to be a better person, and it helped the people around him to be better people. So in some ways that it's a blessing to others And I don't know, what do you think about that? Do you feel like a disability can be a blessing, or is it, has it been a blessing in your life? What, how do you look at that?
Well, I look at that as, the Lord put me here for a reason with disability, and for me to grow, and also to able to be able to help others that are, that don't know about disabilities, that we're all, that God's put us here for a reason, and that we're learning from them. And so if they have, like, if they want to tease people, there's people like me that don't want to take it, but it's like they're losing out on what they have, and what, and people with disabilities are growing and do what they want to do. And it's like, and I think that that everybody needs to love everybody and do what we're supposed to do. And I remember from conference that President Nelson says that we need to love everybody and repent, because if we're not repenting, or we're not letting people or saying sorry to them, or doing what we need to do, the Lord's not going to help us, because we need to do what we need to do to be able to be with our Heavenly Father one day, and the Lord saying, yes, you've done that, you can come in.
Yeah, I'm sure it can be hard to, you know, to be bullied, or, you know, to have people not say nice things to you. And yeah, and you could, it would be easy to turn that into hate and into anger. Mm-hmm. But it feels like you've decided to forgive them and, you know, to take the higher road.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Do you have any, Finita, do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to share for those that are listening?
Well, for those that are listening, that the Lord is here to help us. And if we're, and being disabled like I am, and different people, we're just like everybody else. We have two hands. Some have two hands. Some can talk. But if you see someone like disabled, talk to them and try to get to see, hear them in what they have to say. Some might not talk, but they understand what you're saying, and mm-hmm. you can grow from them. And I hope that anybody that does this, or goes into the church or whatever, or sacrament, love everybody. Don't just mock them or talk behind their backs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Finita, this has been such a nice just experience, getting able to see the way that you've been able to grow through your hardships, and that you're still continuing to like press forward and to latch on to that faith that you have in our Heavenly Father. We really appreciated having you as a guest on our show today, and we really appreciate you reaching out to us to share your story. We hope that it definitely can light up the lives of those listening. And to our guests, guys, thanks again for tuning in with us this week. If you have a story that you'd like to share, we would love to hear from you. We love having a variety of different guests on and a variety of different stories on. You guys can always head over to latterdaylights.com, and at the very bottom of the page, there's a form you can fill out. You can also find us on Facebook. That's how Finita did it, right? And you just sent us a little Facebook message. It was pretty simple. You know, you can friend Scott and I. I'm on social media way more than Scott is, but that's okay. You can always send us a friend request.
I'll still be your friend.
You will. It just might take him a little while to accept it. But we would absolutely love to hear you guys' story and how you can light the world. So.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Finita, for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
For being a light to others. And until next week, we hope you have a great one, and we will talk to you then.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.